right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Bobby Fenton with you as we kick off the month of March. And I guess the thing I think about the most in the month of March is spring training baseball. Not that I actually care too much for it. There was a time in my life when I would romanticize spring training, but that time has come and gone. But of course, for a lot of you out there, March means one thing. NFL Combine, draft preparation, we're closing in, and I know all of you are very excited. I'm excited too, even though I have railed in the past against overdoing it with draft-related things and workout-related things, and I always say, hey, let's let it breathe. We got still over a month until the draft, only, you know, 2 months almost. Just no need to get carried away. It's already been a month since the Super Bowl, and now, you know, it's just easy, guys. But when the players finally actually go to Indianapolis, which they have done that now, it gets a little exciting, even for me. Even for a guy who's not as into this stuff as a lot of my fellow football fans are. And I know the Joes are into it. They're in Indianapolis, having some fun up there. Now, as of my recording this podcast, and since I've recorded it, more measurements have come in, I'm sure. But as of now, we got measurements on the running backs and the offensive linemen. So we'll talk about that a little bit, because I'm always interested in that stuff. Beyond just football, like measurements of people comparing. Look, I guess we just like numbers because they're black and white, they're hard, they're delineated, whereas so many things in life are subjected. But I always like to look at that stuff and some of the other things that are coming out over there. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Of course, some other things around the NFL that are going on. Your Rob Gronkowski's now starting to have some thoughts about his life after football and how soon that may begin. I had a football game this past weekend in my semi-pro league, and I blew an assignment and gave up the only touchdown in the game, which we lost 6-3, so I didn't feel great about that. We'll talk about that today. And I also, the week before, I didn't get a chance to talk about it last week, but the week before I turned into bad soccer dad, I was not obnoxiously or loud or anything like that, like nothing that other people picked up on, but I was too hard on my son, and I felt bad about it. I've been harboring that. I've been holding on to it for a couple weeks. Need to get it out there. Need to talk to you guys about it. So all that stuff's coming up on the show today. First of all, as always, if you want to get a hold of me, love hearing from you guys. Been enjoying emailing with a lot of you. Been enjoying the exchanges on Twitter with a lot of you. Keep them coming. My email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com, all spelled normally. All one word, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. If you want to get me on Twitter, @bobbygameday. And so I was talking about these measurements. So just some of the preliminary lists I have. And I made fun a few weeks ago of the writers and the people that cover the draft that actually tweet out measurements like one by one. I don't mind. I mean, just show me a list. Give me a list at the end of the day of everybody's measurements. That's cool. I mean, that's perfectly within the realm of acceptability to me as far as things to be interested in. But when I see people one at a time going, you know, Mike Michelson, DT, Central Michigan, 6'5" and 3/8", and he's got hands that are 41. And I mean, just come on. You really, I mean, is this really what you signed up for? To tweet out individual weights and heights of guys who, again, I mean, not just, I'm not talking about like Saquon Barkley or something. That's one thing. I'm talking about everybody there. Some of these people tweet them all out. But I have to admit, when the list came out in full, or at least the list of players they did on Wednesday, I was glued to it. Always am. And I was looking at some of the numbers, and Saquon Barkley actually came in, I don't want to say heavy, but he's a big boy, 6 feet even, 233. By comparison, Darius Geis at 5'10 and a half, 224. So Geis is a full, almost 10 pounds lighter than Barkley. And still, you know, 224 at any height under 6'1 or so, you're a thick, walking mass of muscle, which all these running backs are. Sony Michel, which so many Bucks fans have talked about, a little over 5'10 and a half, 214 pounds. Now, the measuring by eighths of an inch kills me. It really does. I could maybe understand going by the half inch, like 6 foot, 6 foot and a half, 6'1, 6'1 and a half, 6'2. I could maybe get that, but going by the quarter inch, let alone the half inch. I mean, they actually measure down to the half or the eighth of an inch. Eighth! And they don't even give you, like, I see a couple guys here like 5'11 and 6'8". If they measured me at 5'11 and 6'8", I would probably try and punch the person who entered the information into the computer. I'd be like, like Walter in Big Lebowski, mark it zero, dude. You better mark it 6 feet. 5'11 and 6'8". I have a confession to make, and I don't know how accurate this thing was, but I'm one of those guys, and maybe it's because I'm a weekend warrior who loves to pretend I'm actually an athlete still at age 37, but I'm one of those guys, anytime I'm at, you know, the grocery store where they have the scale or a doctor's office, whatever it is, even when I go to the vet and my dogs get on the scale, I always hop on there after them, always want to know my height, weight, all that stuff, and not because I'm like a, you know, stressing about, oh, I need to lose weight, you know, that's not what I mean. I just mean, I'm always curious about it. Maybe it's vanity, I don't know. And as an aside, guys, stop trying to lose weight. Try to change your body composition. Try to get stronger, try to tighten your skin, yes. But don't just say, oh, I need to lose 10 pounds. Like, that's what chicks do. Men are supposed to be big and strong. Nothing is more hilarious to me, and I'm going off on a tangent, but whatever. Nothing is more hilarious to me. I see these guys all the time. Guys that weigh like 175, 170. And they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, my goal is just to get down to like 5-10 more. If I can get to 160, I'll be happy. Think about how messed up that is. A 170-pound guy trying to get down to 160. Unless you're like 5'6", 5'7", or shorter, an adult male should weigh 200 pounds. Like, you're an adult male. Like, 160 pounds is middle school. And I'm not like some big, you know, world's strongest man type. I'm 6 foot, about 208 pounds. Right in the sweet spot, in my opinion. And I'm not bragging about it because I'm far from where I want to be. But the individual number, I don't get hung up on the weight. And I sure as hell don't walk around saying, oh, I need to lose 15 pounds. I just want to get down to 90. You know, go get on Jenny Craig or something. Stop acting like a chick. Seriously. And it's amazing how many guys, I don't want to get too bulky. Be a man. Men are supposed to be big and strong. Act like a man. And listen, I'm not saying I'm some sort of model male, okay? I need to act like a man in a lot of different ways too. But don't be trying to lose weight just to hit a target number. Now, if you're overweight and changing your body composition involves losing weight, you need to be doing that. Absolutely. I'm not saying don't try to lose weight, period. I'm saying how you look naked in front of the mirror or in your underwear in front of the mirror, that's the measure. It's not even, the weight's just a number. You can weigh 210 pounds and look fantastic in front of the mirror, and you could weigh the exact same number, 210 pounds, and look terrible in front of the mirror. It's not about the number, it's about your body composition. And I know we're not all athletes anymore, but think of yourself as one. I mean, really, why not, right? But don't push birdseed around your plate at your local hippie bistro and expect to get to the top of the mountain that way. Especially if you don't even weigh 180 pounds to begin with and you're trying to lose weight. Are you kidding me? You ought to be drinking a half gallon or a full gallon of whole milk every day, and squatting is what you ought to be doing. Anyway, point I was making before all that was, they measure these guys to the eighth of an inch. And I, again, always love to measure myself. So I was taking my kid to the pediatrician the other day. She had her she just turned three a couple weeks ago. So she had her three-year-old doctor's visit. So as I always do, I get on the scale there, check out my weight. And like I said, between 205 and 210 is where it fluctuates. But they have one of those height things where you stand underneath it and it slides up and down the wall and you slide it until it's like touching the top of your head. Then you step and you look at it and you see what you weigh. Or excuse me, how tall you are. So I've always been 6 feet tall. Like, it's not like cheating, like, oh, I say I'm 6 feet even though I'm 5'11". No, like, I'm 6 feet tall. Like, I've always, and since I've finished growing around high school, I'm not 6'1", and I'm not 5'11". I'm 6 feet, like that. And whenever you hear 6 feet, you always think, oh, they're just rounding up, because nobody's, like, right on the number. But I really am right on the number, or so I thought. So I get under this thing at the doctor's office. I'm feeling great about myself, like where my weight was. And I slide it, you know, to where it needs to be, and I turn around, and I was like, a centimeter and a half shy of 6 feet even. And I'm like, wait a second. This thing must be wrong. I'm 6 feet tall. Like, I'm 72 inches. And I was like, again, like 71 5/8 maybe. Like, if this had been the NFL Combine, I'm not sure they would have given it to me. They probably would have listed me at like 5'11 5/8 or 5'11 6/8, something around that. And now I'm all pissed off. Now I'm convinced the thing at the doctor's office is wrong. And I don't know if I've shrunk or maybe I've been this tall all along. Never knew. That's the thing. Who knows? And does it matter at all? No. Not eighths of an inch doesn't. I know the scouts and the general managers and the personnel staffs at all these teams, they want every piece of information they can get. They're trying to assemble a puzzle. I get that. But really, do you really need to measure eighths of an inch? Like, wouldn't it be okay to go, okay, 5'11", 5'11 and a half, 6 foot? Like, those are I would use just on the half, like shoe sizes. Maybe quarters of an inch. But even then, you're getting down to very, very minute units of measurement. I sure as hell wouldn't do eighths of an inch. Because it's distracting. I mean, listen. An eighth of an inch is nothing, okay? 2/8 of an inch, a quarter inch is still nothing. I mean, when it comes to height, that literally means nothing. But, you know, if you're 6 feet and 3/8 inches, nobody cares. That's the same as being 6 feet and 1/8 of an inch. However, if you're 5'11 and 5/8 instead of 6 feet even, now all of a sudden that nasty-looking 5 goes on the paper and that nasty-looking 11. You don't want that. You want that 6. We're obsessed with round numbers in this culture. Why do we make such a big deal out of it when somebody gets 3,000 hits? There's no difference between the 2,999th hit and the 3,001st hit. But we will have, like, they'll stop the game. People will come on the field. There'll be a recorded message on the scoreboard for that 3,000th hit. For hit 3,001, I mean, it's as pedestrian as any other hit in your career. And why is that? I mean, again, it's just a base 10 numeral system. If we used a base 9 numeral system, then the whole thing would be thrown off. But, I mean, it's just an obsession with round numbers. We'd love to see that first number to the left tick over. So, again, I was surprised, because we all know that the NFL teams, but not just NFL teams, but most sports teams across all types of sports, you know, if you look at a roster, you know, when you go to the Lightning game or the Buck game and you open the program or whatever it is, you can pretty much subtract, on average, collectively, an inch per player. You know, they're usually going to juice it a little bit. And I get that. That's fine. But for the purposes of the combine, I even then thought they'd be a little more flexible. Like, don't list a guy at 5'11 and 5'8". Just call him 6 feet, because he is 6 feet, basically. And yet, technically, that 3/8 is going to be listed there that's not being there. And it will look on paper that, again, that big old 5, and it's like outdented a little more, you know, the indentation. But 6 feet is only 2 characters. 5'11 is 3 characters, 4 if you count the apostrophe. So it's going to stick out further like a sore thumb. Anyway, Saquon Barkley, 6'2", 33. Nick Chubb, again, right there. 5'10 7/8. Just call him 5'11", really? 5'11", 227. He'll probably be listed as 6 foot on whatever team he plays for, too. Oh, one more thing about weights. And I was talking about this the other night with my wife. We were watching, it must have been the Olympics, something with the Olympics. And, you know, it's pretty standard for athletes to have their height and weight listed. And I enjoy that. I always like looking at the sizes of these guys when I'm in the locker room. That sounded like it was going down a bad road. You know what I mean. When I'm in the locker room post-game, just being able to stand next to the guys. I didn't mean I was watching guys in the locker room, but you know what I mean. Like, I'll, you know, stand next to guys and see, hey, you know, how tall is this guy in real life? Because you can't tell just by reading listings. But it's, again, pretty standard. They'll be listed as something. And we hear all this stuff about females and equality and this and that, and, you know, I fully support all of it, as I think pretty much all people do at this point. It's not exactly a position that is of any remarkability at all to say, oh, I'm for equality. But, you know, they don't list the women's weights. Like, they'll tell you their height in sports. Like, if you look at, like, a women's softball team or the women's hockey team that won gold or whatever it is, they're not going to list the weight. They just list the height. Now, isn't that, I mean, for all the stuff you hear about women wanting to be equal and stuff, isn't that a little bit of a sign of weakness there? If they are serious about that, if they mean business, shouldn't they be putting the weight up there as well? Why? Why be insecure? What do you have to be insecure about? You're clearly an athlete. That's what matters the most. Why be afraid to put it out there? But they don't. And my wife was kind of like, oh, blah, blah. I was like, no, you know, you're playing ball just like everybody else. Height and weight. And she's like, well, it could expose them to, you know, taunts and things women don't want out. I get it. I look, I'm not going to pretend naive. I know it's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges. You know, weight is kind of a bigger deal with women, at least in their perception. I don't care what a girl's weight is. I care how she looks, and I can look at that and evaluate that. And I've seen girls, you know, get up as high as, you know, the upper hundreds and look fantastic. And there'll be girls that are 105, 110, and they look like an African hunger victim. So, you know, I like a little meat on the bones. That's not the point. The point is, if a female athlete's out there playing softball or playing basketball or whatever it is, their height and weight should be listed just like everybody else. So anyway, with all that said, more measurements will be forthcoming. Of course, the quarterbacks, that's always a big deal. Everybody wants to see that. 40-yard dash times and whatnot and everything else. And in the meantime, oh, by the way, I am listing myself at 6 feet. I'm not taking away those 3/8 of an inch. I don't think I've shrunk. We do that. Everybody does that. But isn't that or later? I'm 37. You don't start shrinking then. And then does weightlifting shrink you? It doesn't shrink you. That's a wife's tale too, right? I mean, maybe, you know, some compression of the fluids in your spine or whatever. But at the end of the day, I get how you're a little bit shorter at the end of the day than you are at the beginning when you're stretched out. But I don't think it's enough to account. You know, it's not like you're structurally actually getting smaller. Anyway, I'll leave my own demons to myself. I won't bother the rest of you. Talk about Rob Gronkowski. Now, there's a guy with some measurables. And was reading an article about him on Deadspin about how he's been contemplating his future for a while. He's been starting to feel some ennui about football, but how supposedly the whole thing with the Patriots is getting to him, just being a part of that culture and on and on and on. And addition to all the stuff, I mean, the guy's had multiple surgeries on various parts of his body, obviously concussions and things like that. And he's thinking about possibly hanging it up. Hasn't ruled it out, supposedly. And it's, again, I don't think any fun to go to work for the New England Patriots every day for years and years and years. And there was actually, I should look this up before, it just popped into my head, but there was a little mini controversy after the Super Bowl, right, where one of the Eagles players said, I'd rather win one Super Bowl and have fun than live the way those guys live and have 4 Super Bowls or 5 Super Bowls. And then, of course, all the, again, wannabe jocks on Twitter come back, that's BS, you play to win, you're trying to get rings, winning rings is what's fun, dude, you don't know anything about being a competitor, and I was kind of thinking, actually, yeah, you know what, I'd definitely rather have fun and win one Super Bowl than be on a team that wins 4 or 5 Super Bowls and just be in that mode all the time. It would drive me crazy. And I'll tell you something else, and you might think, oh, Bobby doesn't have any heart and he's not a team player and on and on and on. I'd rather be on a bad team that sends me on the field for every down because they don't have enough people. Do they need all the help they can get? I'd rather do that and get beat and have fun playing than be on a really good team and be kind of on the sidelines more because they have a lot of good players, even if that team wins. To me, I was a backup through most of high school and most of my sports career, basically, at least most of my football career, not as much in baseball. But the point is, like, I know what it's like to be a backup. And all the rah-rah stuff you'll hear, like the high school coaches, like especially like the, you know, the real rah-rah gung-ho ones, get it up on the sideline, need you guys too, come on, man, let's go, we can't do this, everybody's got to do their part, blah, blah. Listen, if you're not playing in the game, and I don't mean like the whole game, I mean if you're not playing in the game, period, or very little, you're not invested in the outcome of it. How could you be? And it's not, I mean, when I was in high school, and again, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but I remember being in high school, And again, not playing all that much for, it was a little bit better senior year, but junior year I didn't play that much at all. And, I mean, I wanted my team to win, but I didn't really care all that much. You know, and I could see, and with Gronkowski, obviously it's not that case because he does play a lot, obviously, and he's invested in winning or losing. But even that, after a while, can probably, especially with what he's been through, he could be like, yeah, you know, what else is out there to life? Especially when you do it over and over and over again. So it's something to keep an eye on just because, I mean, we know that thing came out, the ESPN article, right before the playoffs, talking about friction between Brady and Belichick and how things have been brewing for some time. And a lot of people question its validity. Others say, oh, this guy is, you know, not messing around. This, if he's reporting it, there's a reason. Whatever you believe, the Patriots aren't going to be around forever. We know that, but with that article, now hearing about Gronkowski, you know, it makes you wonder a little bit. Now, what would I bet on, knowing all this stuff? I'd still bet on this time next season, or actually this time 10 months from now, like in December, I would still make the bet that the Patriots are sitting at home watching the wild card games, getting ready for their divisional round that they'll host, just like they always are. I would still make that bet. I'll probably make that bet every single time until it doesn't happen. I'm not going to try and guess when the Patriots are done. I'll let them tell. They'll tell us. It'll become evident. But I'm also not going to be surprised when it does happen. I'm actually surprised it lasted this long. I mean, what they've done has been unbelievable. I mean, I look at what I'm doing. I you know, for those of you that don't know, I play semi-pro football. Nothing special. Anybody can do it. It's, you know, I'm on the team because I wanted to be, not because I got a call, hey, we need ball player. You know, this is not a high level of football compared to what you've been used to seeing on TV if you watch a lot of NFL or college. But it's the Florida Football Alliance. It's 18 and over. It's fun as hell. Like, if you miss playing football and you want to go play some ball, you know, we're actually about midway through our season now. We're having a little rough go of it at 2-3, but or maybe 1-3, because we had a forfeit in there too, so one of the teams folded. But point is, like, I'm having a blast out there. I'm having an absolute blast, and I want to win. I'm a competitor. But at the age I'm at, and getting to do a lot of things on a football field I never got to do before, I mean, I was always a wide receiver, moved to defense in this league, but, like, I've gotten to play defensive tackle. You know, in a league like this, they don't have it sometimes, oh, we don't have enough people, or we need you to do that, and nobody cares. It's real. That's what I like about it. I mean, like, oh, hey, yeah, get in there at defensive tackle. Just get a body in there. So I've gotten to do that. I've gotten to play linebacker. I've gotten to do all these things I never got to do in football. And I'm having an absolute blast with it. But even me, I'm kind of like, okay, you know, a couple seasons of this, and I already did one last year. I'm probably going to hang it up. And that's me without making any money. I can't imagine having the money available to you. And Gronkowski obviously has plenty. But, like, you're literally turning off a switch to a faucet which just shoots out money on the jet setting 24 hours a day. It's what it's like. I mean, for somebody, not for everybody in the NFL, but that's what it's like for someone like Rob Gronkowski. Like, he has a faucet of cash just shooting out cash just constantly. And it's got to be tough, no matter how much cash keeps coming out of it, eventually, to voluntarily turn that faucet off. Can't be easy. It can't be. And then I wonder about how important all of it is anyway, and how if I'd only had the same attitude I have now playing semi-pro football at age 37, I might have had a lot more fun playing football when I was younger. And not just football, all the sports. Because when I was a kid, and this was interesting with the Olympics going on in the Winter Olympics that ended last week, because Norway dominated, just dominated. And they were actually the darlings of the media. Because of, you know, even though, of course, they are a winter country, still, there's lots of winter countries, and Norway's a very small country. They've got less than 5 million people, and yet they're out here just, I mean, they dominated the medal stand, won everything. And they made a big switch to how they approach youth sports some years ago, to where now the average kid, all their kids, really, as they grow up and play sports, they don't play a game with a score kept in it till they're about 12 or 13 years old. Like, they don't even have a score. And I know in America, we love to make fun of that. And we say, oh, there's your PC taking over. Everybody gets a trophy, blah. We don't keep score, blah, blah, blah. And we love to talk. We love to talk tough in America. That is our thing, is talking tough. We keep score. We're going out there. We're playing to win, because that's what you do. You play to win. Just like Herm Edwards said, you play to win the game. You know what? Of course you do. I mean, again, if you know me at all, you know I'm as competitive as anybody. But at the age these kids are at, it could not mean any less, okay? And I remember when I was a kid, and I never felt a ton of pressure about, like, winning or losing games when I was a kid, but I used to put so much pressure on myself because I was like, oh, man, I want to play. At the time, I wanted to play for Florida State. That's not, you know, where I ended up going. I went to Florida, but at the time, I was like, I want to play wide receiver for FSU and probably field, too, for the baseball team, and that was what I was going to do. Like, when I was 7, 8 years old, like, I had made my mind up that's what I was going to do. You know how you are at that age. And so, like, I would get so nervous then, even when I was, like, 10, 11, 12, before at-bats and routine, just ho-hum Little League games, and, oh, man, if I'm going to get a scholarship, you know, I got to do better than that. And I would always think about that stuff. And you know what? I was never, I don't want to say I was never getting that. I mean, if I had worked a little harder, maybe I would have been able to play at some D3 school or something. But that's not the point. The point is, if I had just forgotten about all that and just had fun, it would have been so much more fun. But I always approached it from that angle of, oh, I need to do this to advance my chances of it. And that sucks, especially when you're young. Like, there's no reason to do that. And I swore I was never going to do that with my kid. And that doesn't mean I don't want him to be good. I mean, I do want him to be good. And it doesn't mean I wouldn't love if he got to play sports at a level higher than high school, because that'd be amazing if that's what he wants to do and if he's got a chance to do it. But he's 6 right now. I mean, we're talking about a 6-year-old kid, and he had a soccer game a couple weeks ago. And his team is atrocious. Not just, it's not, I'm not saying it's him or any one kid. His team's just bad. It's uncanny because the soccer team he was on last season was also terrible. And that's just random coincidence, not like the same kids carried over. So he just has this knack for being on atrocious teams. I mean, like, they drop the ball on the ground to start playing, and the ball just immediately goes to my son's team's side of the field and just stays there the entire game. And you look at the kids on the other team, they don't look any different. Like, they don't look like it should be a difference, but for whatever reason, no matter who they're playing, that's almost inevitably what happens. But so what happened in the game, and my son is a decent athlete, and he's only in kindergarten. Some of these kids are in first grade, so But the point I'm making is, he's not bad, he's not a stuttering, he's just pretty decent. But the point is, he got beat on by some little girl, like some, I think she's in kindergarten too, like him, so it wasn't even a girl that was older. And he got beat around the edge, like the girl just ran by him with the ball on her foot. He just kind of like turned around, like jogged next to her, she got around him because she was sprinting, kicked the ball in the net, the crowd was all impressed, they all cheered. They went, oh, you know, and it was a nice goal by her, and if I wasn't a neutral observer, I would have probably done the same thing. But it's one thing when your kid gives something up like that. It's another when, like, it makes the other kid look like an all-star, and this kid wasn't that good. It was a little girl. And I'll tell you what, I always said I was never going to do stuff like this. I was just going to keep quiet and just say, hey, good job, buddy, at least till he got older, like 10, 11, 12. And it's, for those of you that already have kids, you probably know, but for those of you that don't yet, like, you have the best intentions and you say that stuff, it is so hard to actually do. So I actually, and I'm not even one of the coaches, but I actually pulled him out of the game. Like I said, come here. And I told the coach, get somebody else in there. And he ran over and I didn't get mad or anything, but I bent over and I was like, Bubba, like don't ever let anyone outwork you and win a one-on-one battle with you like that. And I said, especially don't let a girl ever beat you in a one-on-one battle. And right when I said it, I was like, I shouldn't have said that. And I didn't say it loud again. It wasn't like an obnoxious sports dad thing where I was yelling where other parents even picked up on it. But I was just talking to him. But I felt so bad right then. Not because what I said wasn't true. At their age, boys and girls don't matter. The whole girl thing isn't the point. But I just don't ever want him to even think while he's playing. I just want him to play and have fun. But you start thinking, and it becomes less fun. And when I say stuff like that, I planted a seed in his mind. And now in the future, he's going to be playing to avoid letting me down instead of just playing to have fun. And that's what I don't want. So I immediately tried to walk it back, and I said, hey, no big deal, just go out there and have fun and blah, blah, blah. And since then, it's been nothing but positive. Like, I've gone back to being positive. But you know how, and again, if you're a parent, you know this. Parents aren't perfect. We all make mistakes. But you know how when you do something parent-wise that's a mistake, you always worry you're never going to get that moment back, and you can't undo what you did, and it's always going to be in his mind. And six-year-olds and kids in general are pretty resilient. And, I mean, I don't remember much of anything. I remember playing sports when I was six, but I don't remember the interactions with my dad or my coaches that well. So I feel like it should be fine, like he won't remember it either, but I don't want him to be one of those kids that, like, whether it's a good play or a bad play, he makes the play and then immediately turns and looks at me to see my reaction. I don't want him to do that. I really don't want him to do that. And so, yeah, I wasn't real proud of myself the other day when I did that. And I admit, I mean, completely, totally admit that that was not the right way to handle it. And, you know, when I think about it, it's just ego. Like, it's just ego. Because, you know, you want your, everybody, we all want our kids to be studs and a total badass at sports and everything like that. But so what if they're not? And I'm not, first of all, the main point is, who cares? They're six. You can't tell anything when they're six. The kids that are good when they're six might be scrubs one day, and the kids that are completely lost right now might end up being, nothing matters now. That's the main point. But the number two point is, even if it was true, and even if, you know, your kid isn't the best or anything like that, you know, it's not about you as long as they're cool with it. And he played well in other parts. Actually, he played a pretty good game overall. It was just that one play. Just, man, I had a very visceral reaction to it. I was not proud of myself. Need to keep that and nip that in the bud, man. But it's no fun, you know, to have to kind of like clam up like that and just be like, okay, buddy, good job. You know, and there's so many things you want to say. Ugly sports, that incident. So help me out. Help me out. The reason I do this podcast, there's many of them. I love talking about sports. I used to do radio. I don't anymore. I miss it. So this is kind of an outlet for that. But one of the things about it, and it was the same with radio, I actually like getting personal stuff out there. It's cathartic. It's refreshing. It feels good to do. And the Joes give me a chance to do that here on JoeBucksFan.com. So, like, and sometimes it's actually easier to talk about stuff on the radio or on the podcast than face-to-face with a person that I know well, who I trust. Anybody out there right now could be listening to this, and I may not know you personally, but I've actually feel, again, unburdened by getting this off my chest with you, where I may not have even said anything to a friend of mine about it because I was embarrassed. For some reason, I don't know, I'm not embarrassed to talk to you guys this way. And that's one of the reasons the show is called The Free Stretch, man. And, you know, I love my son and I love my daughter, you know, more than anything on earth, more than life itself. Again, all you all with kids out there understand how that goes. And I just hate when I fail them when it's preventable. And that, again, I don't think he'll remember much about it. In fact, I missed his next game because I had to work, which I was glad about because I wanted him to play without even thinking about me. But still, I just felt bad, you know, I felt bad. Don't be the nutso sports dad. Just really rein it in. Don't make it about you, and don't get on your kid. I mean, here's the one thing I'll say as an excuse for me. I will never be upset if my kid isn't good at something, or if, you know, whether it's baseball or soccer or football, if he strikes out, if he makes a bad play. I'll never be mad about that. What I will get mad about, and I don't care how old they are, is effort. Like, you're always going to hustle. You're always going to be a good teammate. You're always going to play the game the right way. And I felt like he was just out there just being a total space cadet when that play happened, and that's why I got mad. But it's still not a good enough reason to say what I said. Maybe you say something, hey, pick it up out there. You know, we didn't sign you up for this to go just run around and chase dandelions. But still, that you can't say what I said. And you especially can't make your kid feel like he's got to do something to impress you. I didn't want that. I don't want that. So anyway, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. I'm sure maybe some of you all have similar stories or things like that, or maybe some advice if you've been there, if your kids are older now. And on Twitter @BobbyGameDay. That's all for this week. We'll have more measurements and combine-related things next week. It'll be a lot of fun and all that. For now, though, thanks to the Joes for putting this show up on the site. It is my privilege to be able to talk to you guys every week. I'll be back next. In the meantime, that is your opening free stretch for the month of March here on JoeBucksFan.com. Wherever you are, have a great day. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.